I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Are we ready? You're the host. You're the host, man.
Hola, ¿cómo está aquí?
Tres preguntas para ustedes. Sí. ¿Dónde está un lápiz?
So, it's a soft open, so nothing formal. But okay. As you guys know, I had the chance to have a long conversation with Danny on Podcast Junkies, and I'm really glad to be here. And nice to see the dynamic between the three of you. I did get to listen to a couple episodes when I was getting ready for the conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to freestyle. There's no like set questions, but I think the way I want to kick it off, and I'm wondering, and you guys could jump in. I'll have maybe questions specifically for you, but if you feel like you have a point on something I asked, just jump in. But what I'm really fascinated by and interested by is this trust level that I feel like you guys have. And obviously first Danny with bringing you guys on board, but I'm wondering if either Peter or Paris could kick it off by talking about how important it is in terms of the relationship you guys have and what trust plays as a part of that.
I'd probably say it's the daily communication. I mean, I have friends that I've known for longer. Like my best man at my wedding was one of my best friends, Adam. I talk to him every couple of weeks. You know, I reach out, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Yep.
And just to say hello and, you know, keep in contact with these two knuckleheads. We're chatting. We chat so often that our wives and girlfriends probably wonder, you know, why are you guys always talking? Like I could be at dinner and I'm like sending a message to them while I'm sitting with my daughter, my son eating. And it's the same with him. I call him, and every time I talk to him, he's in the drive-thru. I know this.
It is very true.
And the only reason you know this is because you're always in contact with them, right? So it's that trust level is built from just constant communication. And there's times where we could probably finish each other's sentences because we know what the other is thinking.
Paris?
I would go along the lines of what Pete is saying. It is weird how it happened here, I'd say, in the past 2 years or so, we opened up, maybe even three, but we opened up a Google Hangout chat just so we could kind of communicate during the week about the podcast and things like that. And it just organically over a period of time just turned into this vehicle of communication that all three of us, and even I'll throw Mandy and David in there too, we're just friends of ours. Mandy used to be on the podcast before she took a job in the industry. Where it's this brotherhood and this sisterhood where we're always communicating. When I get up in the morning, one of the first things I look at is the chat to see what happened, to see what's going on, who made a joke about who, or, you know, whatever. And things like here, E3, we're planning in there. Danny and I a lot talk on the phone, usually kind of on our commutes home, you know, just to see what's going on. Hey, did you try and contact this person to get this interview or to get this game or whatever? And we're always in this contact. We're always in each other's lives on a professional level and on a personal level to where, yeah, I mean, they're two of my best friends ever. And it just happened. It wasn't something that was forced or anything. It just naturally happened.
And I think that's why the dynamic works so well, because it wasn't a forced or never felt contrived in any way. It was just a natural progression. It just natively developed, you know, just out of, you know, the communal love for video games. And just, we have a lot of mutual interest. So that helps.
So Danny, does the relationship you have with Pete in Paris, when you put that in contrast with other types of relationships you have outside of this, you know, is the change really that drastic for you when you compare what you have with them with what you might have outside of this?
It is, because I talk to them 24/7 and I trust them. Like, to me, they're like my brothers, you know. They seen my struggle. They've been there, like when I had like personal problems in the past, you know. And the thing is too, I always mention this about this, that they motivate me to become a better podcaster, a better communicator, better person that to get contacts and interviews. And it's because of them. They motivate me, you know, and I feel like we motivate each other to be better, you know. So I there's people that I'm cool with, but I'm not, it's not like in this level like this, man. You know, it's a, yeah.
I saw you going like this, I stopped.
No,
I was waiting to keep reading about it. I didn't want to stop you. No, I was just going to say, and I think I've told you this before, but it's not something I've talked about publicly. Mm-hmm. You might find this shocking, but I'm actually a kind of a shy person. Like, I don't, it's hard for me to approach people on my own. If you get me going, I know that sounds crazy and I'm saying this, but mm-hmm. if you get me going, then I'm fine. Yeah, I'm being 100% serious. Mm-hmm. The reason I bring that up is like being in a setting like here at E3 where you have to do an interview face to face with people and approach people and just get that whole social dynamic going. Mm-hmm. I used to be very hesitant to do that. It was a very scary experience for me to do something like that. But these guys kind of, I won't say forced me, but they pushed me to get out of my comfort zone on that. And it was like, you know what? They're just people like we are. It doesn't mean, go talk to them, go hug it out, go ask for, you know, if I can get access to this or whatever. If they say no, that's all right. No, whatever. Your life's still going to go on. You're still going to be fine. So, you know, you guys probably don't realize that, but it's true. I mean, even though I was doing the podcast before being on GTR, I always had that feeling of shyness, like afraid, like I actually wanted to go talk to people. And I almost feel like, you know, you guys help get me out of my shell of that. Like, even at E3 this year, just all the different people that know me or I know them, and we're hugging it out and we're talking and we're getting interviews and doing all this kind of stuff. 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have never done that.
One of the things I thought was interesting is that you had the interview with Aisha Tyler, right?
Yeah.
And so can you talk a little bit about how that arc has been? Because if you are saying that you are, in fact, someone that's shy, must have been a crazy moment.
And here it is. This is a true story. Mm-hmm. And I have to take you back to something else that happened the year before so you'll understand.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you know. So Bonnie Ross is kind of, she works for 343 Industries, the Halo series at Microsoft, right? We were in a behind closed door meeting. They were showing off the Master Chief collection. She was talking and all this. And then Danny was like, should we interview her? And I'm like, okay, if you want to go talk to her, go talk to her. And we get up to her and all of a sudden he looks at me. He goes, Paris, my voice, I can't. You, she's already there waiting for someone to talk. And I got put on the spot and I had to wing it. Inside, my heart was just do-do-do-do-do-do. I was so nervous and afraid because I wasn't prepared. I'm the type of person, I like to make sure I'm prepared and have my notes and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't have it. I had to be very spontaneous. I've never listened to it.
Still to this day. Still to this day.
Everyone tells me it came out great. Well, last year, and this is even before the Aisha thing, we actually saw Bonnie Ross and I got to talk to her, and it turns out she was just as nervous as I was, you know, to do interviews. And it made me realize, again, it's just people, man. Yeah. It's just people. So flash forward to the Aisha Tyler thing. I was nervous at first. I was like, oh man, this Aisha Tyler, you know, it's someone I've watched on television for years. I don't know if I can talk to her. Mm-hmm. And again, Danny's just right there at the recorder. Okay, let's go. And it's like, I'm on the spot. And it's like, well, you got to go. And it just clicked. And I just ran with it and went. And it wound up being a fantastic conversation. Yeah. We had a lot of fun with it. And I would say ever since then, you can't let yourself get intimidated by this stuff. Yeah. They're just people, you know?
And the thing is too, sometimes like at E3, we have stuff already prepared, what's coming. But just like today, we had like two interviews that just happened randomly, like, out of nowhere. And if you got an opportunity like that, you got to go for it. Even if it's not perfect, you got to take advantage of that, you know? So talking to Paris, he was like, man, this interview came out pretty good. You know, we interviewed Deej. He's the community manager for Bungie. It's a Destiny game. It's really, really popular. And Pete, he interviewed one of the developers that worked on Call of Duty. That was not planned. That just happened, like, us on the side, like, trying to get, like, last-minute appointments to see if we get, like, an interview and stuff. So that's one thing that we're really good at. We hustle, like, we work really, really hard. But we looked at each other like, okay, let's see this at the moment. And then everything worked out, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
but that comes from what he's saying. That just comes from years of working together. And I know how he's going to react to something. He knows how I'm going to react to something. And we just kind of dynamically go on with it. Because even a few nights ago, we had an interview for the new game Titanfall 2. And we got to talk to someone that we had talked to a few years ago for the original game. So we already had a little bit of a comfort level with him. That wind up, we went for, 25 minutes or something talking to him. And then we also got to talk to the head of Respawn Entertainment as well. And again, that one was completely unplanned. We didn't even know it was going to happen. It was just like,
all right, showed up.
We got to go. And you just do it.
And guess what happened? They said it was one of their best interviews.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, they loved it. They loved, because I think where that comes from, again, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is I feel like, you know, I'm asking the questions I want to know about first and foremost. these are the things that I do, but I'm not. I feel like I'm trying to always be genuine when I'm talking to someone that I'm like, hey, I really like your game, or if there's something critical about your game, I'm not afraid to say, you know, I didn't like this, but I'm going to say I didn't like it because of this. And I feel like the people we talk to respect that. And then they want us to come back and talk to them again, because I think it's refreshing for them to not just get a cookie cutter. Hey, your game is great. Hey, this thing is great. High five every time. And on the flip side, they don't also want to hear your game sucks. Your game sucks. Your game sucks, with no explanation as to, all right, well, what do you want us to do to resolve that issue? I think they want the yin and the yang of that, you know what I mean? And it works. And I think that's where we get these genuine conversations from. But that's how I don't even like to call it an interview. I just like, we're just having a conversation. We're just talking, you know, it just so happens we're talking about something that you've created or that you're trying to sell to the masses. And I'm trying to find out more information about it, you know, and it just goes that way. It's a two-way street.
Part of that just comes from being honest.
Yeah.
Just find out, just be completely. And you don't even have to be brutally honest, because a lot of it is how you say it, not what you say. But just ask a question, like you said, like, what would you want to know? What do you think other people want to know? And then just go from there. Just let the conversation flow.
Yeah, what I think is important that you guys are doing is you're putting yourself, and you're always having the hat on of the gamer. And, you know, you guys remember what it's like when you were getting started, and maybe you were reading a magazine on gaming, or, you know, if there was podcasting before you connected with Danny, and there was always this excitement about, you know, this industry or this particular game. And it seems like you haven't lost that freshness or that energy or that enthusiasm. And you kind of have that in the back of your mind as you're asking these questions to these folks and you're having these conversations with them. You always have that sort of, you know, you're there as a representative of the people who are listening to the show, right? And, you know, you're their ambassadors, and you have the mics and you have the exposure and you have the access to these people. And I think what's important, what I've noticed, is that you're not losing that connection and that, you know, that just excitement about coming in day in and doing this day in and day out.
Mm-hmm. I know, I mention this all the time. I still feel the same kid from 2001, when they started recording on cassettes. Like, I still feel the same, still excited, still having fun. The day I'm not having fun, that's the day I'm going to stop, you know? But being with P in Paris, like, it just, I personally, every year it gets better and better, man. You know, every year we're having a blast, you know, with E3 and when we attend different events and when we do interviews, when we record every night. You know, there's some days I'm like super tired from work. Get home, they're ready to record. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, all right, let's record for like 30 minutes. All right, and we're done. And then we check, it's like over an hour.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it just happens, man. Well, every single time.
I think that's the key word that he's saying, is I feel like we genuinely have fun being around each other and talking with each other. Like, we had an episode, laugh before I even say it. We have an episode last week before E3 where, you know, we're making predictions on what's going to happen and things like that. Mm-hmm. And Danny made this prediction that I just thought was the craziest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And I just started laughing and I could not stop laughing to the point I couldn't breathe. And we just went on and on about it. Yeah. And it wound up being just one of the funniest things ever. So much so the feedback that we're getting from the listeners, they could hear the joy that we were having that. And it's created all these catchphrases and things that we're getting. And, you know, we even created like this little funny segment. We called it, originally it was called Miss Cleo. Remember the old psychic thing, but because of copyright, we call it Miss Leo now. So we have people that call in with their Miss Leo predictions and stuff like that. It's just it's great that we've created this content and that, you know, we have this interactive audience now involved in it. And it, I think it just, like he's saying, it just makes the show better. And like we have fun, you know.
Pete, you mentioned you have a daughter and a son.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, are they of the age, or when they get to the age, what are your thoughts about the conversation you have about what's possible in this world? Because I think back to conversations about what we want to be when we grow up, right? And things like this weren't in our realm of possibility at the time. You know, when I grew up, it's like, oh, I want to be a podcaster. Like, what? I don't even know. I grew up in the 80s, is like, what is that? Like, so I'm wondering, you know, because since you mentioned that, if you've thought about that and given some thought about, you know, the potential for what is possible, you know, for new generations.
I've had the conversation with my son. He's a 17-year-old junior in high school. And it's come across, it's been discussed, you know, he loves the video game industry. We tried to give him an opportunity to come out to be a production assistant with us at E3 this year. I put the responsibility of getting a state ID so that he could get credentials, but I let him get that own. I let him have that failure to learn the lesson, you know, so, you know, hopefully he'll do it next year. Actually, he'll be in college, so maybe he won't. Right. Mm-hmm. But we've had that discussion about, you know, do you want to do, you know, content creation for like YouTube or something like that? Cause he loves doing it. Me and my wife have sat and watched him play video games and his reactions and his muecas and like just his little intricacies while playing. We found it entertaining. Grant, we're biased, but if we could find that entertaining, I'm sure somebody else would. And that's just how that whole content creation ball starts to roll. With my daughter, she's a little more shy. And there's been instances where she doesn't want to do like a performance for, like, you know, whether it's piano or violin, or she didn't want to do any of that for school because she was afraid to fail. And that was one of the things that we had to press upon her. It's like, look, that's the only way you're going to succeed is by failing. Mm. And, you know, that kind of comes across as well for us. You only get better. You take those. That's how you grow. That's how you evolve as a human being. And that's how you evolve that skill set is by learning from your past mistakes, because you will fail. You can't show me a successful person that's never failed. It just doesn't. It's a requirement to succeed. You have to have those failures, and it's just part of the evolution of what you do. Whether it's your skill set, if you're gonna be a garbage man, be the best garbage man you can be. Sure. You know, that's something my dad always told me. But yeah, anybody can do it. I mean, we can do it. I mean, we've had some moderate success doing this as a part-time thing. You know, that's also another joke that, you know, we have internally, and we're part-time podcasters, but this thing that we do can help support, bring us together here at, you know, Los Angeles to do something like this. We're usually the interviewers. We're the ones now being interviewed by you. So it's that whole transition that it's the evolution of creating content, and don't be afraid to fail. You will fail. It's what you do with that failure and that experience to, you know, so that you don't make the same mistakes twice. That's the key.
That's really important. I'm wondering a lot of the things that you talked about, you know, Danny mentioned the fact that you're going and, you know, you do on these press junkets or you're doing these interviews. These were like skills that I imagine you guys had no experience with when you got started, right?
Zero.
So can you talk, and it's hard sometimes, you maybe take it for granted because you guys are getting, you've gotten so good at it that it may be second nature, but can you think about that journey of like how it was when you didn't know anything and now the fact that it's second nature to you?
Well, the first time I ever recorded an interview was 2001 Xbox event in New York. And I remember holding the tape recorder and I was shaking. It's, I was super nervous. I didn't know what to say and all this stuff, man. But throughout the years, I got better and better. And then I realized, man, let's just have a conversation instead of this media type questions or clickbait questions, you know. There's interviews that it's been just the vibe has been good and listeners picks it up and it just goes around. People are sharing it. Media picks it up. Headlines on like major media outlets and stuff because of our interview, you know. And I'm wondering, like, I can't remember exactly, Paris, who was the first person you interviewed back in the days as a podcast?
Ooh, man. I don't think my old mind can go that far. The first person I interviewed. Wow, I can't even remember.
You can't remember anymore.
No, actually, I do know.
Who?
It was Nero.
Nero?
Destructoid.
Destructoid? Really? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was the first person we ever interviewed.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. And how was that?
Pretty sure it was terrible. You know, I shudder to even think how those early podcasts used to sound. I guess just go off of what you're saying from my point of view. I just try to prepare. I mean, if we know we're talking to someone and I have time, I try to lay out just a flow of questions, some things that are naturally going to progress from one to the other. And not that I'm reading things word for word, but just bullet points, notes to kind of know the direction that I want to take a conversation and always be ready to be spontaneous if need be. Like if they say a key phrase or word or something, oh, well, what about this? And then I might tangent off into that. But then I have the notes there to kind of get back on track and make sure I hit those key things before you get to an end of an interview. So, I mean, but then like Danny was saying, like we're talking just even here at E3, you have these surprise things that you weren't even prepared for. So then, you know, you just go with the flow at that point, just try and do the best you can. And again, it just comes down to practice makes perfect. Just the more you do it, the better you're going to get.
And P has a crazy story. Remember the first time I sent you an event?
Yeah, I was waiting for my time. Thanks for stealing my shine. we'll take it back a couple of months prior to that. I met Danny through my current wife, right? My wife Alicia was working at Discovery Latin America where Danny worked, and we were dating at the time, and she was like, "Oh yeah, you know, my boyfriend would." You know, would get along with you great. You both love video games. You know, you guys should get together and hang out one day. So that turned into me being on one of his podcasts as a guest. I think it was number 95, 92, 95 or something like that.
I can't remember. It was so long.
It's 570 something now, right?
Yeah.
So that progressed into one day, you know, I was running this website for my gaming team at the time. And, you know, I wanted to do more, you know, it was just, playing video games was one thing, but I wanted to do more with the whole video game industry. And I kept bugging him. I was like, "Hey man, let me write for you. I want to do something. How can I help you? You know, I want to do something." And I'm sure he was just like, "Oh, this dude just keeps bothering me. Just leave me alone. And again, the hustle, you know, you just got to keep pressing, whether it's out of niceness or they just give up, you know, you got to break them down. And he was like, "All right, fine. You want to get in? What are you doing next Friday?" I don't know why. No, actually, it was like a Tuesday or something like that. You're like, "Hey,
it was like a middle week."
Yeah. "What are you doing?" "Oh, I don't know why." He's like, "All right, well, you're going to LA, or no, you're going to Redwood Shores. You're going to EA Studio Showcase 2007. "Okay, well, what I got to do?" He's like, "All right, you're going to go out there. It's going to be EA's, you know, summer showcase. They're going to highlight all of their games coming out for the next calendar year, or you got to go out there and do coverage." And I'm like, "Okay. Sure. Yeah, I could do it. You know, that's my inner, you know, salesman guy. Yeah, I can do it." And then I'll push and fight my way through it. And so I get to San Francisco, get to Redwood Shores campus, get to the hotel, check in. I get downstairs to the bar and there's a whole bunch of people. I'm like, "I know nobody here. What am I going to do?" So I sit down at one of the tables and this other guy sits down. We start chopping it up, politicking, talking about, you know, the rise of music-based video games. It was, you know, Guitar Hero versus Rock Band, blah, blah, blah. And so we're sitting there talking 45 minutes to an hour, and it was just a phenomenal conversation. And at the end, I'm like, "Oh, by the way, what's your name?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, Sean Francois, community manager for Harmonix." And I'm sitting there, I'm like, "Oh, my God." My recorder's upstairs in my bag. I had no idea that I could have met anybody from the industry. Probably my best interview right there, never happened. That made me learn a hard lesson that day. Always be ready. Always be prepared. Because you never know who you're going to meet. It could be in an elevator. Actually, even worse than that, yesterday, the... yeah. Because you know what's about to happen. So yesterday, we're at this industry party that happens at every E3, thrown by Michael Pachter from Wedbush Securities. Everybody, I guess you could say, the big wigs of the video game industry, if you're known or you have a big name, you're invited and you probably will be there or have been there. I'm at the bar having a, you know, waiting for the bartender. Older gentleman comes up next to me, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, pretty good, blah, blah, blah. We start talking a few minutes. I finally get my drink. I'm like, all right, well, you know, nice chatting with you. Have a nice night. I turn around and walk away. As we're heading here to record the next episode, I'm like going through my Twitter feed of, you know, seeing what's going on in the industry. And I see a buddy of mine, Kevin, with the same guy. I'm like, oh, who is this guy? Warren Spector.
Oh my God. I can't believe
legend,
that.
A legend.
He's a legend in the industry. Legend.
A legend in the industry. And I just, again, it's just a conversation, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I was sitting there with one of the most key influencers in technology and video games ever.
It hurts.
So why does that hurt, Danny?
That was, to me, it's not the right time to record an interview in that type of environment. But,
no, but it's an opportunity to introduce yourself, see how, just say hello and see where it goes. Maybe line something up for the future. And if not, hey,
that's fine.
I got to speak to Warren Spector, right? Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Check it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
It's funny, Paris was joking about being too old. I was thinking about this idea of this generational shift, right? Because you guys have been doing this 10 years. I'm sure gaming has changed dramatically. And I'm wondering if you guys, you know, feel like there's this need to always be on the edge. And obviously this is why you come to these conferences, but do you get a feeling that sometimes it's moving so fast that there's some so crazy stuff happening with, you know, new platforms or even just new technologies, you know, virtual reality and all this stuff? It's
all the time, man. I mean, they're into like the whole PC stuff and that's always changing almost monthly and stuff, you know? So yeah, like, thinking about it, when I started, there was no social media. You know, there was no YouTube, none of that stuff. And look, but at the same time, we do our research. We know what it's about. Like, we know how to use it. You know, it's not like there's a lot of people that are older than us. They don't know how to use social media. Mm-hmm. They, not all of them, but some, you know, so... little things like that, I think it's important to at least learn the stuff that's going on now, especially with gaming. It's always changing. Look, VR is like the big thing now. It wasn't like that 5-7 years ago at all, you know? So it's changing constantly, man. It's crazy. And it's sometimes even hard for us to keep up, man, because there's like so many things going on, you know? So I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but...
No.
No, okay.
You know, it's funny what Pete just did. And obviously I won't say what we say, but if people could read our Google Hangout chats and if they could, actually we have a person that is outside our group that's been staying with us this week and that person's been observing our dynamic. Yeah. And it's like, It's hilarious the way we talk to each other. It is the most mean-spirited stuff you would ever hear. You would never talk to another person like that.
Yeah.
But I think we all talk to each other that way because that brotherhood and that love is there, and that's how we express it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to wake up in the morning and go, hey, Danny, love your brother. No, I'm going to say something completely the opposite. You know what I mean? But that's where this dynamic has gone over these past few years. And you know, I don't know where we're gonna end up. I don't know where it's gonna end. But you know, it's for what it is right now. I think it's really good, and it's something special. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Have you given some thought to, because of everything that you've learned, been trained on, exposure, experience, like how that's shifted about what you think is possible for you or, you know, for you, PD, in the future?
I mean, we talk about where our next steps, what we need to do. I think a lot, I know a lot of what holds it back is the fact that we have families, we have, you know, kids, other careers, things like that, to where I can't give 100%, 110% of myself to doing this. And it does limit, or at least me, I can't speak for these guys, but it limits me and what I think the potential of what I could do in this whole gaming industry and podcasting and streaming and all that, because I just simply don't have the time. But I think I give my all with the time that I do have. And I think we've maximized that time and gotten the most out of it. You know what I mean? Have we left things on the table? Probably. Could we do more? Probably. But, you know, there's other priorities in life that we can't necessarily sacrifice to be able to do it, at least today.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Do you want to add anything, P?
No, it's it's exactly. I probably would not have said it any better than that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paris.
Thank you, sir.
If you could only see the dynamic between the three in the studio, it's something fun to watch. I'm wondering when you think about what you're doing here, and is there? I always like to ask if there's someone who's in your life who, like, would see like what you're doing now, who knows you, who maybe grew up with you, and would be like surprised that like this is an aspect of your life right now?
Our parents.
My first instinct was like my mom, but I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I know Danny's, when Danny got, you know, nominated and won his awards.
The Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame. Yeah. You know, I know you showed it to your old man, and you know, you guys had that special moment. I know I have vivid memories of my dad yelling at me to get off the stupid box. Countless times.
I've been through that too, man. Many times.
And now he's the first one to come. Oh, look, my son's in the newspaper. Look, my son's on CBS radio thing. He's the first one to yell and show off to his friends that I'm doing something in the video game industry, the same thing that he always encouraged me to get away from. And now it's that trophy for him of look what my son can do with video games. Mm-hmm. So I love it. It's great. It's kind of like that one up on your old man that you always wanted to get. So I love him. It's cool that our parents can have that proud moment experience for their children, because they're doing something they enjoy and love and have always had that appreciation for. So, and now being a parent, I understand how and why my dad has that, because, you know, I'm waiting for that moment when my son or my daughter have, you know, that opportunity to do something that they love and have a passion for and succeed and do well. So I can have that. And then hopefully that transition on to, you know, when they have children.
See, my mom always, since day one, she was always supporting me with my whole gaming stuff. My dad was more like, you're really too old to play games, you know? She was the one that helped me build my first arcade place in the Dominican Republic. And I had gamers from the city who go and pay for 30 minutes to play or an hour.
What was the most popular game there?
Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter for Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. Yeah, that was really, really popular at that time. And that was like in the 90s, you know? And then my mom, I remember we were having a party for 2K Games in New York City. And I invited my mom and my sister to show up. And they came. And I got emotional because I was like, man, my mom never seen me like this, you know? And she was really, really proud, you know? And then the whole thing with the Hall of Fame, my dad buying the newspaper. And he's like calling me all crying. And he's like, I don't know what you do, man. Man, but I'm proud. You know, and still to this day, he still doesn't understand, but he's like, every time he's like somebody, like a friend of his shows up to hang out at the house, he's like, proud of my son, man. Son, can you tell him what you do? Every single time, but he's super, super happy all the time, man. So I love it, man. It's cool.
Well, the other dynamic is almost like that, like with you, Danny. I wonder if you have like a proud papa moment with like PD and Paris, you know, thinking about when you brought them on and, you know, what you obviously saw something in them, some potential, and now all these years later, to see, you know, how you've gelled. And I'm wondering if sometimes you, you know, it's hard to see if because it was, if you don't think about it year in, year out. Yeah, but
there was a lot like that. I mean, the first time, the moment for me first was with Paris. I want him to tell you the story how we met, but the moment after this happened after that, you know, seeing him traveling to Microsoft for the first time, because they invited him for the event, and I see him, that person that interviewed me when I was there for the first time, the video that he got to see before he met me, he did the same exact thing because we helped each other, man. And that was like, to me, was like a proud moment to me. I was like, man, I see the potential, man. He's like, I see it, man. Let me help him out. I'm not trying to get anything out of it. You know, I love helping people, you know? So when I got to see him, Microsoft playing the game really early, I wasn't invited. He got invited. I was happy. I wasn't jealous. I was super happy. And Pete going to EA Games randomly, and he never recorded an interview, and he comes back excited and he got content for us. Like, I was like, man, I see the potential, man. Like, this is the right people to be part of my team, man, you know? So, I don't know, perhaps you want to say something about that, but.
I guess I should tell the story how we met. So, was it 2005 or 2006? I can't remember. It was up in that time frame somewhere.
I think it was 2006.
I'm just sitting at home, average gamer guy. Now, I had been kind of hustling my way into E3 just even before that. I've been coming to E3 since 2001, but just, you know, no media or nothing. I just, you know, the hustle to drive. I've always been the type, if I see something I want, I try to figure out how I'm going to get into it, right? So 2005, 2006, I'm watching a video at home. And like he said, YouTube and all this stuff really didn't exist back then. And it was him and our other good friend, Chris Palladino, on this video at Microsoft for like Lord of the Rings or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was like, wow. And I had been listening to Gamertag Radio at this point because he had just started it, you know, probably just hadn't even been out a year at this point. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. He got to go see this game at Microsoft. And I hit up my other friend that I would play video games with online. And I'm like, man, I want to do that too. He's like, yeah, let's figure it out. Let's start our own podcast, right? So we started our own podcast and it wound up being a disaster. But the thing that came out of that was I really respected Danny and Chris at that time because they were the gaming podcast that I listened to. So I was like, let's reach out to them for tips. Maybe they'll give us some tips, help us get started, whatever. So we emailed Danny, we emailed Chris. Chris responds right away. We hop on, I think it was Skype or whatever it was at the time, like on a Saturday morning. He listened to our podcast, you know, shredded it to pieces, said what was good about it, but gave me tips like, hey, matter of fact, the editing software I use to this day.
Here's one suggestion.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. He gave me tips on how to edit, all this kind of stuff, which was great. Never heard from Danny, right? Weeks go by, never heard from Danny, right? So my other friend got upset and sent him a angry email.
Instagram.
Yeah. And when I found out, I'm like, dude, you can't do that. That's no. Why are you going to piss this guy off? So I then emailed him like, look, I don't know what my friend said. I apologize. That's not how I roll. Da, 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 da. Well, Danny, it turns out, was on vacation with his girlfriend. And he came back and he understood and whatever. And we knew each other, but it wasn't we were chatty or anything like that. And then I think it had to have been 2007 that Medal of Honor. There was a Medal of Honor event out here in L.A., ironically enough, that we both got invited to. Because at this point, I had started another podcast called Uncle Gamer, and I was doing my own thing. And that's why he mentioned I went to that Microsoft event early 2007. But then we met the summer of 2007 at this Medal of Honor event, and we kind of hit it off, and we were friends. And then from that point on, we were always friendly with each other. We'd always help each other. He'd give me advice. He was kind of like that big brother in podcasting for me to kind of point me in the right direction, and he'd give me advice. He's like, yo, don't be afraid to go ask for stuff. Don't be afraid. He's like, you got to get out of your house and out there meeting people, shaking hands, kissing babies, you know, to get yourself out there. And it worked. And we were literally doing our own separate things, but something like E3, kind of like when Khalif and Cicero were here now, it was kind of that dynamic where they were doing their own thing, but we'd help them out, you know? And Danny and I had that relationship. Eventually I met Pete and we were always real chummy, really good friends. We'd always been friends. And he'd said a key thing before. There was never jealousy. I was never jealous of anything that he got, any accolade he got, vice versa with me. It was always congrats. That's awesome. Like I remember I got a BioShock interview or something that no one else got at the time. He's the first person to congratulate me on it. You know,
and I said to him,
like,
and I said to him, put exclusive interview because nobody has
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Be proud of that, man. That was like a huge achievement for you, man. You know,
but the point is we had that dynamic for years. You know, like I said, from 2007 till, what was that, 2012 I came on
yeah,
GTR? 2012. Because I had actually stopped podcasting because yeah. just life, career, all that, I kind of felt like I had done enough, seen enough. I was very happy with what I achieved. I was okay without doing it. It was fine. And then, I don't even remember, Pete probably remembers the story better than I do, but for whatever reason, I remember, oh, it was BioShock Infinite. I was like, oh. I'll come on there and talk about it with you guys and came on. And it was like, I'd always been on that podcast for years because we're all friends and we had fun. They were getting feedback saying they really liked it. I came on again a second time mm-hmm. for some reason. It was a good time. And then I think
a listener
was like, well, why don't you have him on all the time? And then Pete hits me. I remember this vividly.
Saturday.
Pete hits me up on a Saturday. I'm standing in Sports Chalet with my son on Facebook. Well, you going to join or what? And I sat there and thought about it. Why not? And I hadn't even at the time. I was like, look, I don't want any pressure on me. I'll come on if I can. If I can, I won't come on. You know, just stuff like that. And next thing I know, they putting up press releases and saying I'm on and all this stuff.
Major and, announcement yeah. and everything.
And I joined. And I mean, the rest is just history because even though at that time I was hesitant to like fully commit myself, I mean, who was I fooling? You know, of course I was going to commit myself to this. That's because I think the one thing all three of us share is work ethic. You get nothing in this life sitting on your butt doing nothing. You got to go get it. If you want anything, you got to go get it. And that's just how all three of us think. So even in our group now, we're always trying to get that next thing, get that next interview, get that next game, just what, you know, whatever, you know, using whatever resources we have. And I think the one great thing that happened is I went on my own, but like Danny didn't have to help me get to where I was in podcasting, and I decided to not podcast on my own. So when I did join them, it was never a thing of I was trying to get something from them. It was never that. It was never about ego or I wanted the status or anything like that. It was just like I'm friends with, because even when I stopped podcasting, we were still friends. We were still talking and, mm-hmm. you know, doing all that stuff. So it was, and I even remember, I think Pete came out here for an event or something, and I just came and hung out with him because that's my friend, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we all decided to get together, I think one of you even said form like Voltron or something crazy like that.
Oh, I did that.
Yeah.
During the speech Hall yeah. of Fame. Yeah. I mentioned that. Yeah.
But it just worked because like I said, I think we've always been friends first versus a podcast is just a byproduct of what we do. Cause again, we have these conversations we have offline anyways. We just happen to hit, turn on the recorder and have, you know, we argue.
Honestly, this is the first time that us three were talking about this.
No, it's always just so, been unsaid. Yeah.
Harry,
yeah.
This is a podcast exclusive for podcast junkies.
Yeah. I'm learning. I guess I got to put exclusive on this. So Paris, exclusive. One of the things you mentioned was the fact that you got this mentality of like, you know, I know if I want something, I got to go after it. I got to hustle for it. So like, where'd you learn that though?
From
like,
my mom.
Yeah.
From my mom, because my mom is the ultimate hustler. She's always been, and not in a bad way. It's just, you know, she was a single mom raising two kids and she made it work. You know, she did what she had to do to make it work. And I had a great life as a kid. St. Petersburg, Florida. I never went without as a kid. And like I said, looking back now, I'm thinking, wow, she was a single mom doing all this. If there was something she wanted or she wanted to do, she did what she had to do to go get it. She worked hard, bust her tail to go get it. So, you know, I've always had that mentality of just even in my real life career as network engineer, all that. It's like, you know what? I want to be a network engineer. What do I need to do to be a network engineer? And you go do it. Mm-hmm. I want to be a podcaster. I want to be good at it. What do I need to do? I want to go to E3 and I want to, because I guess I'll tell this story real quick. So like one of my favorite games is Destiny, right? And I knew they were going to be here doing like some interviews and stuff, but it sounds like it was very limited on what the interviews were going to be. Sure enough, we go up there to the publisher to try and get an interview. They told us no. But, you know, she left little key details in there on how to actually find out where these people are. And we found out how, and we made it happen, and we did that interview because it's something I wanted to do.
Yep.
And we did it, you know. Same, you know, and same goes for those guys. If there's something that we want to do, we figure out a way to get it done, you know. And I just think that's the mentality you need to have, whether it be in podcasting, just life in general, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you need to break laws and do anything crazy like that, but, you know, just put in the effort. If you fail, like you mentioned earlier, if you fail, that's okay. Yeah. You tried. I'd rather fail and try than to not try and always wonder what if. So this is how I look at it.
Yep.
Peter, can you think of someone who's, as you were growing up, inspired you? Because you guys have this, I've heard this a lot, a couple times already tonight, this idea of like not being jealous, you know, not you know, lifting each other up. And I'm wondering if that's something that's, I feel that's inherent in the three of you. And I'm wondering if that's something that someone taught you.
I got the work ethic from my dad. I mean, my dad was a post office worker. He still is. I mean, 25 plus years he's been in the post office, which isn't easy work. You're in the hot sun day in, day out, rain, you know, like they say, rain, sleet, snow, whatever, the mail has to go through. Up at 5 a.m., coming home at 6, you know, I learned that from him. You know, and I lived a very comfortable life. You know, my parents both worked, you know, full-time jobs. I mean, my mom sometimes worked two jobs at a time, to make sure that we all, you know, that we lived and never needed, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we went on vacations, you know, I played three different sports growing up as a kid, did martial arts, the whole nine. I had everything I ever wanted. I was the only kid on the block with a TV and video game systems, and anything and everything I ever wanted, my parents made sure I had the opportunity to have. You know, did they say no? Yes. You know, but that showed me that you can't just expect everything in life. And, you know, I did the normal kid things. I cut, you know, mowed lawns and washed cars to make money.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, nothing in this world is free. And like he said, like Paris said, you put in the time, the effort. Worst they can do is say no. Something's the simplest thing is to ask. And, you know, this goes back to what Paris and Danny were saying about earlier today. When we had the opportunity to get that exclusive podcast exclusive for Call of Duty.
Yes.
We happened by chance to see the PR for Activision. He was like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" He's like, "Hey," and Paris, as if he was just saying, "Hey, good morning. How are you?" He was like, "Hey, you know, can we do an interview with one of the devs for Call of Duty?" He's like, "Yeah, sure. Let me go ask." And as simple as that. Had we just been like, okay, well, they already said no, we're not going to have, you know, it's not going to happen, and walked away after saying hello, we never would have had the opportunity. And all it took for him was to say, "Hey, can we get an interview?"
But the reason that happened was because this particular PR person, I'd established a relationship with him back in 2007, mm-hmm. and it has carried on here into 2016. Yep. So it's okay for me to ask him that, because he will be perfectly honest with me and tell me yes, or he will tell me no. And if he tells me no, all right, I'll try again next time. And it's fine.
Never give up.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, that's a pretty nice way to wrap it up. I'll do a quick lightning round if whoever wants to jump in.
Okay.
Think about something really quick that most people don't know about you.
I listen to a lot of politics podcasts. I take a break from big gaming and I just listen to political stuff, man. You know, so.
Change of pace.
Very.
I watch the Westminster Dog Show every year.
When I found that out, I was dying. I was like, "Are you for real?"
Oh no! And like clockwork. Like once that show comes on, pop on the couch. Don't bother me. Leave me alone for 3 hours. I'm watching the hounds. But is it gonna be a Beagles? Is it gonna be a Basenji?
Who won last year?
Depending on which breed.
Okay.
Wow, he's deep with this, man.
Paris, you got top that.
German Shepherd, by the way.
I think I gave mine away already. Is people don't know I'm actually a very shy person.
Yeah. All right, well, you already used that, so something else.
Yeah, something else.
Okay, yeah, I want to move my family to Europe. And I want my kids to get a European education. And people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I would really love to do that, because I think one of the best things that ever happened to me was joining the United States Navy. And I spent 3 years living in Japan, and I got to see the entire world, and it really helped make me who I am today. And I would love my kids to have a similar opportunity. So, yeah.
Put them like in the armed forces.
Fantastic. Danny, thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and do this. I had a blast talking to you guys. Hey, getting time, to know you guys
cool
a little
peeps,
bit more.
Man.
Cool peeps, yeah,
man.
Thank you. Yeah,
very thanks a lot, man. Thank you. A lot of fun.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.